Welcome to the Crossing Church Podcast, your weekly dose of sermon messages.
We've been preaching through the Sermon on the Mount the entire year. So, Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 to 29. And when Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. They'd been used to the scribes teaching them all the time. In fact, a good Jewish person would go every week to the synagogue and would go and sit under the teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees and the legalists and all the guys that had studied, the teachers of the law, and these elders of the towns or cities or wherever they were. In those synagogues, they would sit and listen to the word of God, mostly from the law, mostly from the first five books of the Bible, the Torah or the Pentateuch, whether it was Greek or whether it was Hebrew. And it was just brought to them regularly. It says this, they were astonished at his teaching. Who's been astonished at the teaching of Jesus? Who's been astonished at the things that he says? If you look back over the Sermon on the Mount, if you've got a Bible with you and you just page back over Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7, you'll see some amazing things that Jesus has taught us. I mean, I've been asking the question all year, but I don't know whether you get it or not. Do you know how blessed you are? Yes, I'm thanking the Lord now. Do you know how blessed you are? I mean, you might have no money at the moment. Do you know how blessed you are? Because you've got a provider to rely on. You might have sickness in your body. It doesn't matter. Do you know how blessed you are? Because blessing isn't whether you're healed or not. Blessing is knowing the healer. And he can do whatever he wants to. He can do amazing things. Blessing is not stuff. Blessing is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. And if you know that, you are way more blessed than the person that's got the most money, the most health, the most fame, and everything else. That guy is on shaky ground if he doesn't know what you know about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is blessing personified. Do you know how blessed you are? Good. And it talks, we spoke about how the salvation, the fact that Jesus Christ went to a cross and was punished on that cross so that we can be free of that punishment. That's blessing, folk. That means God has got every good intention towards you every time he thinks of you. If he could send his only son to die for you, how much more would he keep thinking good thoughts towards you? The worst thought he could think has been dealt with on the cross by his own son. That means he loves you. And he wants to bless you. And if you start to understand the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, everybody's trying to fight with Jesus. You're fighting with Jesus sometimes. I don't want to know that thing. I don't want anything to do with church. I don't want Jesus this, Jesus that. I tell you what, when you know who Jesus is, man, you can't help but bow on your feet and worship at his feet. Bow on your knees, worship at his feet. He is so good. And that's the realization. That's why people give and give up and do what they do for the sake of his kingdom and his glory. You know, when you come to realize that what he said is not nonsense, when you look over the Sermon on the Mount and you see how much wisdom he has on every aspect of our lives, and that he knows the solution to every single problem that you're going through. In fact, he created the whole world. And he knows how to restore, he knows how to fix, he knows how to set free. If you understand him and who he is, I tell you what, your life is different. You have life when you have the maker of life inside of you. That's where he wants to dwell. Do you know how blessed you are? Then it spoke about the power of the influence that we have. When you know that, it changes people's lives. Have you heard of a Sadducee? The Bible talks about a Sadducee. They're very sad, you see. They're like this. Like, life. Life's so sad. They can influence people. Because when you sit around someone who's a Sadducee, you see what they see. And then you sad, you see. So you don't want to hang around a Sadducee. Because then you become a Sadducee. Who do you really want to hang around? You want to hang around a Gladducee. I mean, you want to find somebody that's got the joy of the Lord in their life. You want to sit next to someone who knows how blessed they are. Hello? You want to lie in a hospital bed next to the other person in the hospital bed who knows how blessed they are. You want to be in a queue waiting for pension money, but you still know how blessed you are. Hello? Because that's infectious. It's influential. He's taught us, you're the salt and the light of the world. When you laugh, I tell you, people laugh. I like making people laugh. And I don't care if people laugh at me. Because then at least they're laughing. Because there's something wonderful about joy and freedom. And God wants to use us to influence. And yes, His gospel is serious. But once you get over the seriousness of what He's done for us, seriously, there's a lot of joy. There's a lot of freedom. That's where we want to be. You know, we've learned, as you look through Matthew 5, you see Jesus Christ is the one who qualifies us for ministry and for life. He's given us an oversupply of righteousness in Himself. You're trying to be good. You're trying to be nice. You're trying to be happy. You're trying to be right in God's eyes. You're trying to be religious. You're trying to tick all the boxes. You're trying to just get everything perfect. You're trying to make sure the floor's clean and the dishes are done and everything's nice and perfect and repainted. I tell you what, you can get so frustrated because you know what happens in this world. Things break regularly. And you're broken. And sometimes you're trying to get rid of your brokenness inside by trying to fix everything on the outside. And you can't do it, and it's frustrating. And I'm spitting everywhere. It's frustrating to try to fix everything. Have you tried? It's frustrating to try and get stuff perfect. Perfectionism, oh my gosh, it's just a trap. Let it go, man. Come out of the cage. Because Jesus, He makes you so perfect in God's eyes just by believing in Him that He doesn't even see a single fault. He's removed them as far as the east is from the west. If you carry on in the faults, they obviously keep hurting you, but He doesn't even see it. But what He shows us is to stop doing it so that we can be free of it. So when He's dealing with a fault, He's not rejecting us. He's trying to get us back into even more freedom. You are free and He wants to make you free. That's awesome. That's what His righteousness does. That's why believing in Him. That's what you find in the Sermon on the Mount. Anger reveals a lack of love. Anybody been angry lately? But you can get angry. Well, it reveals a lack of love. And then we fall for the substitute, which is lust. And Jesus deals with these things. We've got to deal with lust ruthlessly in our lives, guys. Guys and girls, deal with lust ruthlessly. Ruthlessly. No more Ruths. Ruthless. Just go after the one you got. Don't lust. Yeah. Like, help us, get me out of this preach. You know, people crying for me to stop preaching when I preach the heavy stuff. But they keep coming back for that. But when I tell a lot of jokes, no, we're not serious. We must go to another church where they preach the heavy stuff. Please, man. Be free. Loving our enemies. God tells us and teaches us how to love our enemies. Why? Because you were enemies of God and He loved you. Hello? And giving so that your left hand doesn't even know what your right hand's doing. Giving that you don't even know what you did. Giving that you forgot you gave and you give again. Giving without a record. Giving without a handle on what you gave. Giving without a little hook attached like bait when you're fishing. Remember, I gave this, but hang on, I actually want this. So cast the thing in and then cut the line off next time you fish. People say, what are you doing? I'm just giving. You're going to end up doing that anyway sometimes. Everyone's trying to catch a fish, but nothing's biting. Praying, and God rewards it. Fasting. And God rewards it. Bringing people to Him, which is the treasure of heaven, and God rewards it. Seeking and finding, knocking, and the doors opened, asking and receiving. These are all the things that God has given us in His Word. Jesus is teaching us what the Father's like through the Sermon on the Mount. You live this sermon alone, you can live in absolute freedom. I mean, He's bringing it to us. Dealing with our own shortcomings. Making right judgments on others after we've made judgments on ourselves. We're quick to judge others and slow to judge ourselves. Let's be quick to judge ourselves and slow to judge other people. You start to see God do amazing things. Being considerate, initiating good. The good that you want the other person to do for you, you do it first. And see what happens. So Jesus knows what he's talking about. They marveled at his authority. Somebody who's an authority on something knows what to say. He knows what the situation is. He knows the ins and outs. Somebody that's been experienced. If they're an authority on something, they understand the circumstances. They understand the situation. Professionals are authority on the thing that they're professionals at. And so it's good for us to come to Jesus because he knows our human hearts. He made our hearts. And he knows that actually everything that's wrong in the world is what flows out of this. Hello? It's not the government. It's not religion. And it's not this. And it's not murder and adultery and all every other kind of thing. You know, all that stuff, where does it come from? The heart. Your heart is sick and dirty, man. Do you know that? That's why he's got to come and do a heart transplant. He's got to get in there. He's got to take that old heart out and he's got to put a new heart in. That's how you get born again. You realize that the heart that you got from your mother has got something wrong. You need a heart from your father. And he changes everything inside of us. And that's where the Spirit of God wants to work. He wants to change the heart. Because at the core, at the very depth is the issue. It's not on the surface. You can dress nicely today or Sunday, but what's on the inside? And he knows our sin. He knows that we need relationship. Jesus knows us. Jesus, he knows our brokenness. He knows how to fix it. Hallelujah. That's all he wants to do. That's the whole reason why he came. You can go to doctors till you're blue. You can go to study books till you're brown. Well, I'm just using colors. Forgive me. I'm not saying. You can get red, yellow. You can go and study yourself empty. Come to the one who fixes you. Jesus knows what to do. He made the heart. And then he shows us through the Sermon on the Mount. There's two paths you can choose. You can choose to follow his teaching or you can choose to follow everyone else. You can choose the foundation of sand or you can choose the foundation of rock. You can choose the good fruit or you can choose the bad fruit. You can choose to try and fix yourself up or you can choose an intimacy with Jesus Christ. I know what I want to choose. I know how quickly I tend towards the sand. I know how quickly I tend towards the bad fruit and towards listening to myself and other people. I know how quickly I tend towards religious acts. It's easy to sing four songs and get the keys right, but God's actually been messing a little bit with our worship lately. Have you noticed? We didn't have electricity last week. What now? Can't we worship? Not if we're relying on electricity. And then we don't have a drummer this morning freaking out. What? Hang on. Theo comes and plays the bongos. Thank you, Jesus. But the Lord's just wanting to show us some things, perhaps. That is your worship reliant on something external? Is your worship reliant on what he's done in your heart? Because if it's reliant on something external, then it's going to be, I didn't like the way those words, I didn't like the way, this, all those kind of things. But if it's him on the inside out, you can worship everywhere, all the time. You can worship in a dungeon with shackles and chains and rats and mess around you, and you can say, my God, I adore you because you're still so good. As chained as I am here in the flesh, so free am I in the spirit. Hello? That's freedom. That's what he wants to teach us. So you can choose. Follow him. So there's no wonder the people were astonished. It says that they were astonished. The word ekplezo in Greek. It means they were so utterly amazed that they lost mental composure. I mean, I would be so utterly amazed to lose mental composure. You know what? Mental composure is when everything's in balance and everything's in equilibrium. But when Jesus comes and he teaches these things and he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Whoa, hang on. I'm a little bit out of equilibrium here. I mean, Jesus says, hang on, don't fight your enemies, turn the other cheek. Hang on, what's going on? Hang on, this is making me a little bit nervous. I'm losing some mental composure here. I'm very astounded at what you're saying. And the authority with which you say it is not like the scribes. The scribes are saying a whole lot of things, but this is very different. Or you astounded every week. You don't want to hear what your itching ears want to be tickled with. You do want to hear the stuff that knocks your equilibrium so that you can balance it back on Him. He's got all authority. He's good. Let's be astounded. Let's be utterly amazed. Let's get agitated by what the preacher says if he's preaching the Word of God. Let's get nervous. But you know what? It's going to result in freedom. All these things that he's teaching us, he wants us to know. Again, here's the reminder. The greatest event in history was what? Is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's pretty big. That's pretty big. I mean, a lot of people have died who said they were God. Hello? But he died and rose again. That changes everything. Either he's talking nonsense or he really did. But if he really did, then that explains a lot. For 2,000 years, this gospel has been passed from father to son, person to person, and it has never been able to be rivaled or challenged. No other religion on the face of the planet tells of a God who comes to do it for us. Every other religion says, you do it. Empty your mind and find nirvana. Bow down and worship every day at 3 o'clock, 4 or whatever, and face whatever direction. Do this, do that, do this, do that. And perhaps if you've matched up, then you might come back as a nice frog. I mean, what is that? What do they call it? Reincarnation. It's nonsense, man. But there's a reincarnation that takes place when you recognize that the God of heaven, who has moral requirements on every one of our lives, who sees that we're out of line, but he dies for us and then pours his Spirit out into those who believe in him so that the Spirit inside of them can live out the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, where do you hear such good news? It's knocking the equilibrium a bit. Hello? It's God who knocked the equilibrium. Otherwise, it's not the gospel. And God knows how to write something and how to put something together and how to live something that's going to challenge you to the very core. If it's not challenging you, it's not God. If it's challenging you, you know, hang on, I've got to consider this thing. Because it can bring me life if that's what it says. So let's commit ourselves to what he's saying. But now I want to talk a little bit about why. I've got a few points on why Jesus' authority is so marvelous. The first thing is, I've got 8 points. Are we right? Yeah. I promise there's 8. And we won't be late. Submit to his father. From the beginning, from an early age, Jesus submits himself to his father. He's a 12-year-old boy and he's in the synagogue listening to the teachers, submitting himself. And his parents forget about him. I mean, perhaps they didn't think a 12-year-old would be interested in the teachings of the Pharisees and scribes. And they move on and realize a few days later, I think 2 days pass, and then they come back, oh, Jesus, where were you? He says, didn't you know I needed to be in my father's house? Don't you know that I'm about my father's business? And Mary marveled and is astounded, and equilibrium thrown a little bit. She notices that there's something very different about her son. And he submits himself. But it says this, he goes from there and he submitted himself to his father and mother. I mean, he could have taught them, but he submits himself to them. And you don't hear another thing about Jesus, only that the last thing was that he submitted himself, and you only see again when Jesus comes out at around 30 and John the Baptist points him out. That means that whole time he was submitting himself to earthly authority, even though he had heaven's authority all over him. Do you know how I know that you are fully submitted to the Father when you can fully submit to things on earth? People who say that they submit to God but no one else, it's dangerous. I submit my life to these men in this front row here. Manny, on a regular basis, sit with him. He submits his life to me. I mean, that seems like the equilibrium's thrown out of it, isn't it? Manny and Bruce McAlpine, they share things with me about their personal lives. I share things with them. And you know, I can do it more. No one is ever in a place where you can't be under authority. You're only in authority when you're under it. And so who are you submitting to? Well, my dad did this, I'm not going to listen to him. My principal did that, I'm not going to listen to him. The police are up to nonsense, I don't care about them. The president is, he's evil, he's stealing money every day, I'm not going to listen to him. Taxes, I'm not paying any of those things. Well, I don't care, I'm an authority to myself. Nobody's going to guide, tell me what to do. Jesus Christ, tell me what to do, I'll do it, Dad. Tell me what to do, Mr. Taxman. Tell me, Mr. Roman soldier, where do you want me to pay this coin? Hello? It's a challenge that he's under authority because he recognizes this, that when he's in authority and good authority, when he's under authority, he can have good authority in people's lives. John chapter 12, verse 49 to 50 says this, I've not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me has given me commandments, given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. Incredible. His whole life was submitted to his Father. He was, so they all with S's. Okay, just to make it easier for you. Submitted to his Father. Spirit anointed. He was spirit anointed. If you read through Luke, I'm not going to take you to the exact scriptures right now because we don't have time. But if you, I'm not going to read through the scriptures. But in Luke chapter 3, verse 21 to 22, it says that the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus like a dove. And remains on him. And then it says in Luke chapter 4, the Spirit leads him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. How many of you, if the Spirit was telling you to go into the wilderness, to be tempted by the devil himself, you'd be saying, is there another Holy Spirit? That's like, doesn't sound right. Even to the most difficult thing that Jesus would face. I mean, he's for 30 years, he's been in obscurity as a carpenter, doing what Abigail will do. Carving out the wood. And there, now the Holy Spirit's leading him into a wilderness to be tempted and fasting for 40 days. I mean, to face Satan face to face. When you're hungry and thirsty and it's hot. Most of us, when we're hungry, thirsty, tired, we fall into sin very quickly. If you are hungry, thirsty, tired, please beware. Please beware. Because you're hungry, something inside of you saying, give me satisfaction right now, and you'll take the first thing that comes your way, and it might not be God. Yeah. I know if I'm tired, Sunday nights, busy, then the movies come on, and there's something inside of me that just keeps watching, 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 and they can just throw whatever they like in my face. But when I'm fresh, when I'm feeling strong, I see what's on, oh, PG, I don't know. Sometimes those things are dodgy even. 13, I don't know. What 13 what? If it's got things in it, boom, turn it off. We heard in this past week, people who had dipped into finances that weren't theirs and that had pursued relationships and sexuality that wasn't theirs, every one of them said they were fine spiritually, they were okay physically, but they were tired emotionally. Every one of them, five guys, finished emotionally. When you're tired, it's dangerous. That's when you need God to flood your heart again. That's why we come here this morning. We felt refreshed just in the words and singing. Guys, skip this for 2 weeks and I don't know what you're on. Come on. That's why we come. That's why you encourage your brothers when you don't see them. The guys in your life group, maybe they're not here. Hey, where are they? Are you okay? I know you've missed a Sunday. I know you could be going through some anguish in your soul. Let me pray for you to have the Spirit today. People are tired. Pray for Chris, please. Chris was busy organizing the registration of the Equip the whole week. He was running left, right, and center around Cornerstone. I think his footmarks are all over that whole place. Then, I don't know if you know, but we had no power here last week. Do you know when this power was restored? Yesterday, eh? Was it? No, Friday evening. But I let the guys know only on Saturday that it was restored. But he was running around phoning Eskom, trying to sort that thing out. He was supposed to be here for baby dedication. I think his immune system is so low that him and Tracy, the whole family have been taken by bugs, all kinds of stuff. He's tired. And I tell you, if he doesn't rest and restore now, it's another week of whatever Brad tells him to do before he's going to have a moment in God, unless Brad sees the situation and says, my friend, are you okay? Can we encourage that man? I mean, most of what happens is him. Father, we pray right now, spirit guided, like Jesus. We pray for Chris and Tracy Godlinton, Lord. We thank you for him and we thank you for her. We thank you for their family. We ask you, Spirit of God, refresh them, cover them, fill them, satisfy them, lift them up, help them financially, physically, emotionally, wherever they need it, oh God. If we ask them, are you okay? They'll say, okay, we're fine. If you ask them, can we bring you a meal? They'll say, no, it's fine. But you know what? Let's do it anyway. Let's bless them anyway. Let's help them anyway. God, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Spirit guided, Jesus. He comes out of the wilderness having defeated the enemy with the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. He wields it every time. And it says in Luke chapter 4 that he comes out in the power of the Spirit. And the reports about him went everywhere. And then he starts off with those wonderful words. When he stands up, he picks up the scroll, opens it up, and he says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Isn't that amazing? Everything Jesus did was because of the Spirit on his life. Submitted to his Father, Spirit anointed. He was sympathetic in his authority. You know, get some authority has no sympathy. So sorry, buddy, that's the rules. Benevolent authority. Jesus says this in John 17. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. The whole reason why he has authority is to give life. Isn't that beautiful? There's a kind of authority that tears down, but there's a kind of authority that builds up. Yes, we need the authority that tears down what's wrong, but we need the authority that builds up what's right. There's a lot of authority that'll tell us what's out of line, but we need more authority that shows us how to have life and how to live it. Husbands, bring life to your wives. Fathers, bring life to your children. Men, bring life to women. Women, bring life to people. You have an authority. Many of you have an authority. You all have authority over many things. Go for it. Your area of work, whatever it might be. He was servant-hearted in his authority. There's so many scriptures about that. If you're writing them down, I'll give you an opportunity. He was sacrificial in his authority. He said, nobody takes my life from me. I have authority to lay it down. Isn't that beautiful? The authority he uses lays down his life. A sacrificial authority. Number 6, Satan had no hold on him. He had sinless authority. It's incredible. He didn't sin once. He knows our weaknesses. He sympathizes with every one of us. He knows our temptations. Can I encourage you? Can I encourage you? Understand this. If you are tempted, it's not sin. Amen? If you are tempted, it's not sin. If you fall for the temptation, it's sin. Got it? How many of us have sinned recently? Anyone? Good, I'm glad there's some honest people. You sinned, the rest of you sinned right now. So that's cool. We're in good company. We've all sinned now. So the temptation isn't a sin. The Spirit in us can help us recognize the temptation. It's at that point, folk, that you don't have to sin. You can walk in sinlessness. You can, by the Spirit. The greatest lesson, I reckon, for every one of our lives would be to recognize temptation and to not do what it's tempting you to do, but to run to God. Don't try to fight the temptation. You know what? He knows how to arm wrestle and he's going to pull you down. Turn away and turn to him. The more you do that, the more you walk in his pleasure. It's a simple little thing. You're going to have an opportunity to sin them right here today in the church building. I guarantee you. You're going to look at someone and go, huh, where'd they get that? Whatever. I'm not going to give you some suggestions on how to sin in church. But you can overcome the temptation and you can walk in the Spirit, and that you will find authority on your life increase. Jesus had it and he wants to give it to us. He was a man, number seven, who lived the Sermon on the Mount before he preached the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was poor in spirit. He emptied himself. Jesus mourned for sinful and helpful people. Jesus was meek. Jesus was merciful. Jesus was pure. Jesus was a peacemaker. Jesus was persecuted. Jesus was salt and light. Jesus was righteous. Jesus reconciled angry men to an angry God and settled all anger forever. Jesus did not lust, but he healed those caught in adultery. Jesus is still committed to one bride. He never divorces. He keeps his promises. He never retaliates. He loves his enemies. He gives and he gives and he gives and he gives. He prays and he prays and is interceding for you right now. He's fasting and waiting for the feast that's coming. He stores up treasure in heaven. That's you and me. He has sought first the kingdom of God. He never judges unrighteously. He asks, he seeks, and he knocks for you, and he received for us. He did the golden rule, do to others as you'd have them do to you. He is good fruit. He is a sure foundation, and he lived it and preached it. That's why he's got amazing, astounding authority. He lived the Sermon on the Mount. You've heard it this whole year. He lived it. That's why he could preach it. God is calling all of us now to live it. Because in 2018, but even now, he's going to use you to make disciples. He's going to use you to bring broken people to what you have. But if you don't know how blessed you are, they're not going to come. Amen. Blessed to be a blessing. Amen, Rita. That's why you're still alive, Rita. You're a blessing. Amen. You're a blessing. Amen. Number eight, it was the strongest authority. So let me backtrack for John, yeah? John, he was submitted to his father. He is spirit anointed. He was sympathetic. He was a servant hearted. Yeah, you tell me. Sacrificial. Sinless. Sermon on the Mount man before he was a Sermon on the Mount preacher. And he has the strongest authority around. His authority can heal your sickness. His authority can raise your deadness. His authority casts out all of Satan's demons. He's given it to you. His authority is powerful. Jesus said this, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples. He has all authority. It's the strongest authority there is. Therefore, use it properly in your marriage. Therefore, use it properly as parents. Use it properly in the church. You know, there's authority in the church. Come to it. If it's like Jesus' authority, it's only going to be good for you. If it's not like Jesus' authority, help us get it right. Hello? Because there's a strong authority, his word, and that's what we want to live by. If you understand it, you'll respect authority in business, employers, employees, in government, with law, any kind of enforcement. If you understand his authority, you'll live in his authority.